don't know how far I'm going to get along right here. It's a little later than you think. How many of you ever read the book of Ruth? Should be about everybody, because if you want to read a book, read it. It's four chapters. I love the minor prophets. Most of them are one chapter. It's like reading the book of Jude. It's like, whoa, I read an entire book out of the Bible in 10 minutes. But the book of Ruth tells a wonderful story. Tells a story of a woman and her family who leave Bethlehem and they go to Moab. Basically, they move over to Jordan. That's where the land of the Moabites were. And Naomi, Elimelech, their two sons, Mahon and Chilion, they all go. The boys take two women for brides. They marry them. We got Ruth and Orpah. Well, Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi a widow, and then her sons die, leaving her without any children other than these daughters. And she finally hears that there's bread back again in Bethlehem, and she's going to go home. Now, the interesting thing is Elimelech, his name means "my God is king." Naomi's name means "pleasant." Mahon's name means "sickly." Woohoo! My mom and daddy made me sick. That's my name. Chilion's wasn't much better. It was falling away, passing away. It's like, you kind of set your boys up for failure there. And then you come down. You got these two Moabite women. Naomi's leaving. She says, "I'm going back." And the two girls cling to her and say, "Mother, please, please take us with you." Naomi says, "Listen, if I could even get married tonight and have children tonight, would you wait for them?" She's like, "No, go back to your people." Back, and she even said, "to your gods." I really hadn't caught that. Go back to your gods and your people. Orpah listens. She goes back. But Ruth grabs hold of her and says, "No. No. But let your people be my people. Your land be my land. Your God be my God." There's a little bit more to the poem. We call it a poem, but it was her plea. "I will not leave you. Take me." Bible says that Naomi just quit talking to her then. And she took her. But they go, I don't know how long of a travel, don't know for sure how far they went. It might have been like going to Indiana for us. She gets there, and the people of Bethlehem heard her, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And her words out of her mouth, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara." See, Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. She went away pleasant and came back bitter. She calls God Almighty, not the reverential type, meaning pretty much God has been mean to me. You ever felt like that? "God, you're just being mean to me." Well, see, the reality is this is a story of redemption all the way through it. Not just the redemption of Ruth, because most of us know the story, right? The field gleaning, Boaz, the close relative redeemer. Boaz was an uncle. And a wealthy one at that. But he'd also be the father of Obed, who would be the father of Jesse, who would be the father of David, all of which would be the grandfathers of Jesus, the Messiah. But here's something some of you may not know, some of you may. It's a type and shadowing of what was about to take place through that line. Naomi represented Israel. Her husband led her from the house of bread because there was no bread. Led her away to a land of the Moabites, which if you remember who they are the sons and daughters of Moab, who was the incestuous son of Lot. That's a great way to start your life out, isn't it? My daddy's my granddaddy. And so they wander off. They go back to the world. They choose the world's way because there's provision instead of trusting God. Then comes Ruth, who converts, wants to convert, wants to serve Jehovah, Yahweh, wants to know this God, and will not leave Israel and Gentiles. She went away pleasant, but came back bitter because she did not trust her God. God showed redemption and favor through Boaz. Ruth is out there gleaning in the fields. She's picking up the stuff that the harvesters have missed. Boaz learns who she is, talks to her, and then he goes back and he tells his young men, says, make sure you drop a little bit. Drop a little bit more. I don't know about you, but you know, that's not typically, he's a wealthy man. That's typically not what wealthy people do, because we think of Scrooge McDuck, don't we? Don't let anybody pick anything up. I want it all. I want it all. It's all for me. But Boaz says, no. Make sure you drop a couple extra heads of barley and wheat. As a matter of fact, he provided supper for her. She goes back, Ruth goes back, and she tells Naomi what's taken place. And Naomi realizes what needs to take place. She says, wash yourself, purify yourself, put your best clothing on, and go and lay at his feet. She goes, he's asleep there on the bags of flour, because he's been grinding it, and she covers his feet with her body. He wakes up later on and he's like, whoa, hey, there's a woman laying on my feet. Does that sound like a familiar story? A woman sitting at somebody's feet? Maybe Jesus? And the woman weeping humbly at his feet. And Boaz realized what he's got to do too. He's a close relative. He can redeem her. He can redeem Naomi, keep them out of poverty. But there was one relative who was closer, and you had to follow the order. He went to that person and said, will you redeem Naomi? Will you buy her field and redeem her? He said, yes, I will. I will do that. They had the 10 elders as well to witness it. He said, I will do that. And he said, now, but you got to redeem Ruth as well. The guy's like, I can't do that. I will lose my inheritance if I do that. I don't understand it. I didn't look it up. But Boaz says, okay, very well. I will do it because I can do both. See, God made the way through Jesus Christ for us to be redeemed. We were Ruth. We were the Gentiles. The whole time he was showing us and showing them, I've got a plan. And then to realize, because that's basically where it ends. It tells about Boaz begetting Obed, Obed begetting Jesse, and Jesse begetting David. This great love story. How much more so is God in love with you? That he took that time, years and years, centuries ago now, to tell us, I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for your life. I'm going to redeem you. Every last one in here has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Not legalism. The law couldn't do that. And that's why Israel got bitter. They didn't know God the Father as Father. They knew him as a judge, a lawgiver, a great and terrible being. But to know a Father who made a plan and told us centuries ago, this is how it was going to be. I've been doing some study as well, not only into spiritual warfare on some deeper realms, but on weddings. I'm putting this one together in a message because one thing I believe, I shared with you last week was the actual Father's Day message. The hearts of the Father, Malachi 4:6. But that's also what Elijah did, right? Elijah went and he preached to get the people to turn their hearts back to God. John the Baptist went before Jesus and he preached, get your hearts right. Prepare the way for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the prophecy is that Elijah will come before the return. And then doing this study about the wedding ceremonies and things, I have a better understanding personally of the rapture of the church, to which I will share then. But right now, I'm telling you, prepare the way. He's coming back very soon. But he's not coming back as you think. He's coming back for a bride without spot nor blemish, no wrinkles. He's given us the time. He's given us the means. He's coming back. I'm not the only one that I've talked to, other preachers that I know, they're feeling the same thing, that God is telling us it's time for us to get our acts together and be the bride. So when you're reading your Bible, remember, sometimes God put another meaning in that story. It wasn't always just about showing how this all took place. It wasn't just a story. It was God telling us, I've got a plan. I've got something in store. Because see, the reality was, you know, Elimelech shouldn't have probably gone to Moab. The sons probably shouldn't have married Moabites. Because the first thing was, they could not marry until it was past 10 generations. Now, having said that, why would Ruth be able to come over and be married? One, God's grace and his mercy. But two, there's a good possibility she was the 10th generation. Because we're talking a lot. They've already gone through 400 years of being, well, not quite that long, but they were in Egypt for quite a while. We're, what did we say, 3 generations in here? We got a couple families that are 3 generations. We're not even near 400 years. So she was definitely safe. but as a representation of you and I. She converted. She found love. She fell in love with a good God. I believe Elimelech, you look at the word and it really wants to throw you. Elimelech, I believe, actually probably did show her who God was. But he died. Naomi became bitter because she's, God did this to me. I won't say that I know why the guys all died. Could have been farming accidents. Somebody could have dropped a rock on another one. Who knows? It just says they died. Or if the two boys were like two brothers, they do stupid things. My brother, we used to shoot each other with BB guns and slingshots. We lived. We're still a little shocked. Sometimes we shock each other too. But know this, God's not done with you. He wants you ready. He's coming back very, very soon. Some of us may not see it. Some of us may. I don't purport to know when. So just understand that right now. I don't know when. But understanding the wedding ceremonies and thing, traditions better, I can tell you, there's some really awesome things ahead of us. And we just need to start looking and seeing what Jesus was talking about the whole time. So today, fathers, enjoy the day. Love your children. Love on them. If you get to be with them, love on them. Enjoy your time. Relax. I get to go home, take a nap. I told Angela, I got up. I said, I need a nap. She said, you can nap. I said, all right, I'm going to do that. But no, God's already made all the provision he needs for you. You just need to trust him in everything. Amen? Let's stand. I want you, as you're going about your business, through anything, pay more attention to people around you. Pay attention to them. If the Holy Spirit's leading you to pray for them, don't hesitate to ask. I did not expect that guy to grab my neck like that. I'm like, okay. Okay. This is interesting, Lord. But I'm a touch guy, so I'll hug you back. But I can tell you that I could feel the bones in his back from the treatments. He lost a lot of weight, but God's going to restore it. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful that you are a good, good Father. You're a great Father. Lord, may all of us men, whether we're fathers now or not, we aspire to be like you, Lord God. To love when it's tough. To rejoice in victories. To know that each and every generation is something to be proud of, not ashamed of. Lord, I thank you. Again, I thank you for all the fathers here, the future fathers. Lord, that you're stirring faith in each and every one of us. Lord, that we will lead and we will be the men that you created us to be. Now, Father, I pray for each and every person here today. I bless them, Lord God. I pray, Father, that as they go out, your anointing will follow them. People will feel it. People will look at them, Lord, because something is drawing them to you, to them. Lord, I thank you for providing everything they need to be just like you. In Jesus' name, amen.